This is the HopeCast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
This is the Heart Conviction Podcast, October series, 2 of 3, where we're talking about real evil in the unseen world and the spiritual realm, real exorcisms, my personal scariest moments, incarcerated in jail, satanic versus biblical scripture, and the terrifying current government. Join me today for a conversation that is past spooky novelty and rather deals with real evil at hand. I am your host, Nina Palmer. Welcome to the show. Very happy that you tuned back in. Y'all thoroughly enjoyed last week. You gave me such good feedback on it. This series is really the topic of my heart. I love talking about things like this. I love exposing lies of the enemy. I love talking truth. I'm in the business of truth, and I hope that you'll join me with that too. I'm going to go ahead and rate this episode. This is going to be a highly spiritual episode, and we're going to push some boundaries in conversation here. I have no doubt that you might feel a teeny bit uncomfortable. It's going to be a really intense. It's going to be a good conversation to have, and that kind of falls under the umbrella of important conversations, does it not? Last week, we talked about the war on truth. If you haven't listened to that yet, please go back and listen to it. I think things change for a Christian when they start committing to living a life of truth. I know tons of Christians who are great people and great in so many areas. They can be truly gifted in talking to people or speaking, having a boldness. They could be good in administration, lots of giftings. But there's a difference in somebody who's committed to truth and a difference in somebody who has not yet anchored their heart in that. And so we talked about that last episode. You will be able to notice the difference in Christians who have taken a stance with that and the Christians who have not. There's a level of intensity simultaneous to a level of compassion. And I love when I meet somebody, I'm like, they have it. They know, you know. They have entered that place with God where it's all that matters. It's important. Okay, let's go ahead and go through our bulletin so we can get to the meat and potatoes of our conversation today. All right, Texas State Fair update. It's the last week. I don't know if you're watching the video. I have my fair shirt on. It's darling. It has like tickets on it and ice cream and circus tents and Ferris wheels. Just on brand. It's we're leaving fair season, and the Texas State Fair is always late in the fair season. It's always like the closing for fair season. I know it's over, and I'm quietly mourning that in my heart. I have like a real bittersweet moment the last week where I'm just still enthralled by it. And then I'm there and I'm like, I can't believe it's almost over. It's just been really nice. We live right beside it. And so to just kind of stroll over, I fantasize about every time wishing that it was there year round. Okay. Last week I talked about the cornbread donuts. If you remember, I hope you're dreaming of those. You know what? If anything's going to haunt you this season, I hope it's those cornbread donuts. I hope they haunt you. Well, guess what I found out? I go to revisit it and I see a sign that says that you can get them confetti style. Confetti style. I was taken back. And that means that they give you the same delectable, hot, honey-covered cornbread donut. But then they'll also put a little strip of custard on it and fresh berries and whipped cream. It's like right, right when you think something can't get better, blew me away. It was really the whipped cream and the berries. I got about 3 more visits in me before it's over. I'm going to predict 2 out of those 3 times we are going to be getting confetti style cornbread donuts. Okay. The next big thing we had this week. Now I'm going to talk about a disappointment. Okay. We had what was a finalist for the savory category, and it was a brisket and cheddar filled pretzel bomb. Okay, that alone, you're going to like probably win my heart over with that description. The German in me lives for a pretzel. We all like barbecue. I love a lot of cheese, whatever. My fault for getting it 10 minutes before the fair closed. Not so great. A little bit dry, 4 out of 10. So my hope is that maybe I could try to get a fresh one in these last couple days. The next thing I want to highlight is something didn't know I needed, would have never put the two together, three together, blew me away. Are you ready to hear a sentence that you'll probably never hear again in your life? Okay, we had, you ready? I need a drum roll, ready? Blue cheese, buffalo chicken, macaroni cheese, funnel cake. Did you just wreck your car if you're driving? Do you want me to say it again? Let me describe it to you. Okay. Normal big fair funnel cake, right? But they jam the center of it with macaroni and cheese. And then they put drenched buffalo chicken all over it with tons of blue cheese. Now, I love blue cheese. So I don't know if I was just like obsessed with all the blue cheese. Because I have never had that kind of physical reaction to eating something that I did when I ate that. Told my friend, I said, I think I feel like dizzy. Like, do I have a deep fry buzz off this? Because something's wrong or really right. I don't know. It was disgusting. It was wonderful. It was a disaster. It was everything I hoped for. It was a deep fried fat disaster. And when I tell you, it hit a spot in me that I didn't even know I had. It was so good. Oh, it was so good. We were making the people beside us taste it. I was like, you have to taste this. You've never had anything that tasted like this. You have to try it. You have to try it right now. Something about the sweetness of the funnel cake and that kind of heavy vanilla flavor in funnel cake mixed. It was like chicken and waffles. There we go. That's what it was like. It was like bona fide chicken and waffles. It was sensational. To this day, it will probably be one of the best things I think I've ever had in my life. It was so good. I was eating with my friend. She was kind of like, I don't know about this. And I was like, I understand your hesitation, but please note, ma'am, you've not ceased to stop eating it. You're eating it and telling me you don't know. I said, you're just confused, as you should be, with this juxtaposition of flavors, but you are enjoying it. And we about finished that whole thing. It was, and you know, we were basically having communion with it, sharing it with the people beside us. I was like, you have to taste it. Try this right now. I instantly became like a salesman. I was like, you have to taste this immediately before you do anything else. If you weren't an adventurous eater, you might have hated it, but I loved it. The next thing that just cracked me up while we were there is, y'all know Big Tex, right? I always say he's my crush. He's like the ultimate Renaissance man. There's a giant, I want to call him a statue, but he's not made of anything heavy. He's like made of fabric and whatever. Giant Big Tex. If you've seen the State Fair, he is the iconic cowboy at the front of the fair. And everybody takes pictures with him every single year. It's like a tradition. He caught on fire one year. He's enormous. Okay. He's bilingual. He speaks Spanish. He says, welcome to the fair in both languages. He plays music. He's just, you know, he's just a dream man. And you're supposed to get your picture taken with him. Well, me and my friend went. We had such a fun night there. It was really like just an iconic night. If you want to feel young again, get yourself a friend who will just pal around at the fair. We played games. I felt like Belle from Beauty and the Beast walking down those fair streets. It was like this magical night where things were just happening for us. I don't know why. People were like, do you want to play a game? Play it for free. Keep playing. You want to play one more time? Go for it. You want to ride the ride? Ride it one more time. Sure. Just do it. We had so much fun. And we were just cracking up, like, why are all these things happening for us? It was just a really good night. She was like, I don't want to ride the rides. I don't know if it was because she was nervous or we're like adults, but I talked her into doing it and she wanted to then do it again. It was just so fun. We were just cracking up, taking funny pictures the whole night, meeting funny people, just running around like teenagers. That's what it felt like. And that's so good for us. It's medicinal for me. But we go to take our picture with Big Tex. And, you know, everybody's taking photos with him and you kind of want to find somebody that will like do a little trade off with you. Like, we'll take your pictures if you take ours. You guys, we had to do it with three different people. Mind you, the photographs we took of them, professional. I mean, would you doubt us? Like, they were excellent. But then they were taking photos of us back and they kept cutting off Big Tex's head. And we were so frustrated that we just had to prop the phone down on the ground against our jackets, and not that we needed them because it's been so hot. I don't ever remember being this hot at the fair, but I've been dying even at night. Anyway, and we had to just like take it ourselves because everybody kept cutting off his head. Do you guys not know how to take a good picture? What do you think we're trying to take a picture with? Big Tex, baby, we want to see his face. We just could not understand why everybody was just taking such a bad picture. And then I take another photo with Big Tex last night with my husband, and the same thing. You guys, if somebody asks you to take a photograph of them with something, you do have the ability to get both in the frame. I promise you. Okay. I won't complain too long about that. Anyway, I will give you one more update of the fair. If there's anything to envy of me, it's my fair flex. Okay. I also want to do a little check-in with you, and if you did your self-reflection homework, yes, this is a podcast with homework, and did you write out your three things that need self-improvement? If you haven't done it, why the heck not? If you're a Christian and you haven't done it, why the heck not? It's what we're supposed to be doing, renewing our minds, checking ourselves, being accountable, you know, bearing our heart before the Lord. Take it as a gift, because when something clicks and you shift out of a bad habit or bad characteristic, it's freedom. There is so much freedom in it. So please, please, if you're going to listen to these episodes, just do it. Make the list. Do it in your notes app. Little reminder on friendly reminder. Per my last email, per the last episode, friendly reminder, make your three lists. Remember, three easy things that you need self-reflection with. It's probably things that people have told you. And then write under them, where do you think the source of that came from? And that's it. We're going to keep building off that. I also want to invite you next week to an episode that I like get giddy over. We've already recorded it. I re-listen to it over and over again because it's just so funny. And I have two of my hometown homies coming in for a good old-fashioned harvest party. So these heavy topics will not go in vain. There will be a fun reward at the end, especially if you're from Ohio. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. It's absolutely hysterical. We're trying to edit it now. It's 2 hours of just hilarity and some insight. It gets deep. And I'm like, I don't know. It might need to be a two-parter because I don't want to cut out a second of this. It's just so funny. It's just so funny. And we really talk about the struggle in Christians in this season right now. And where is the line of celebrating Halloween? And, you know, is it fun? Is it wrong? Is it evil? Is it bad? What's too far? And some really good perspectives are set on this episode. So I think you're really going to enjoy. I know even this week I bought a box of matches and they were cute. They were on sale and they had like little ghosts all over them. Now I can tend to think a ghost is kind of cute, but I know it's also kind of like on that line. And I bought them because they were so cheap, but I was like, you know, for me, it's the Holy Ghost. Okay. It's the Holy Ghost match. So even when I use them, I'm like, oh, let me get my Holy Ghost matches. Anyway, moving on. So we last week talked about dating 30 plus, the real terror in this world. And y'all said that that was your favorite topic so far. I have heard you. Town hall meeting right now. We will talk about that more. What I really want to do is get some perspective from people who are in the dating game right now. Y'all are out in the wild and we need to hear from you. I love hearing single stories. I love it. It's just the funniest. Trying to navigate it. You know, 30 plus, we're also set in our ways. And people who are set in their ways trying to date. Oh, honey, is that scary? So we're going to talk more about that, I promise you. But it was cool because we really tied it into lawlessness of our heart and why that's why dating is so hard right now is we just live in pure lawlessness. And we talked about that versus the war on truth and how that incorporates with each other. And then we talked about satanic text versus biblical text and how the first law of satanic text. Now it's funny. I said there were 10 truths, but the more I keep reading, sometimes they say there's 7. Sometimes it says there's 9. So shocker, inconsistent. I would expect nothing less out of that evil text. Remember what I've said in the past? Inconsistency is your first red flag. So when I would read different writings on things, they reference different amounts of their fundamentals. And I thought, well, it doesn't add up. And so that's a red flag. But it's on brand. It makes sense. And then we're going to get into that again this week. I'm going to start off with my scariest jail stories. So as you know, you're probably listening to this because you watched season 9 of 60 Days In, and I was on there 2 months in jail, and there were funny times, there were disgusting times, there were hard times, there were tense times, there were lonely times, there were depressing times, dark times. I could go on forever, but you will undoubtedly come face to face with evil when you are incarcerated. There are lots of happy people in there. There are lots of good people in there. Let me not just say it's all scary, because when you're watching the show, they do tend to focus on the bad moments, but you'll have joy in there and really funny moments and really deep conversations that will hit your heart and really mean something, really tender moments. And there is a lot of good, but there is a lot of darkness too. And you are dealing with people who are often amidst really heavy cases, deep into sin and dark sins. There was a girl in our unit who, her name was Myra. You can watch her on the show. Really sweet things about her. I interacted with her differently than I would have suspected had you told me that I would be incarcerated with somebody on her charges. But she was charged alongside, like an accomplice to her baby's murder. And to watch her go through different mental stages of that, different realizations of that, really scary. To talk to her about it, peculiar, odd, she's coping. She's also lost her other, lost her other kids amongst this. And you saw her enter in and out of places of denial and realization and comprehension to what was happening. Talk about intensified levels of stress and trauma and weird emotions. She would be real great one day and very off the next day. You kind of didn't know what you were going to get with her. And when I interacted with her, I also saw her lie about the logistics of her case. And we did look up her case afterwards, and she would lie about it. And probably part of a coping mechanism, but as harmless as she was, and there was not a second that I was in there with her that I feared her, I would think somebody like her, I would feel anxious sharing a cell with her. Because if you kind of remember, I explained it before. So you are in cells with often one other cellmate. Sometimes you're alone. I've heard when they're crowded, they put three in there. And if you watch past seasons, I guess they'll put even more, but it's supposed to be two. You have two beds and you're in that cell with the same person 20 hours a day. Now, all those cells then open up into a larger pod, like a common area. And then you're with other people in your pod, and then you can go to services with them and educational things. And then you have your rec time with them, and you see them throughout the day for medical stuff and meals. But you know, you're really with that one person. I do think that I would have been afraid had I been in a pod with somebody with really intense charges. Now, I did share space with people quite often who did admit that they may or may not have killed somebody at some point too. That's not what they were in there for. Now talk about just casual conversation, may or may not have murdered somebody, no big deal. But the ones who were on cases like that, like if that girl will play a part in the murder of her baby. Now, in her defense, the child's father was getting the murder charges and she had less serious charges, nonetheless played a huge role in it, nonetheless. But in her defense, I think I would have been scared of that. Like, if they'll kill their baby, if they'll kill their kin, if they'll kill you. I will say this too, just because somebody's in there on murder doesn't necessarily mean that they're crazed. Now, they're not well, and they're now carrying that demonic presence, but I would have been afraid of that. There was one girl who was in there towards the end of my stay. And of all the people that were in there, she was the scariest to me. Her legal name was Tinkerbell. And she was very disturbed. I would say you would probably call her schizophrenic, I would say to the worst degree. And she would go in and out of different personalities quite frequently. She would talk to herself. She would murmur. She would all of a sudden just be fighting with somebody, kind of like, as sad as it is to see, and I say this with true grace, when you see somebody maybe like homeless or on the street, just crazed in their mind and they don't know what reality is and they're nuts. They've lost it. I would call that demonic. We'll get into that here in a second, but you know what I'm talking about. She was that. And even the look of her, if you were to look at her face, her eyes were wild. There were fire in her eyes. And I thought she was terrifying. Now, in a spiritual place, I'm not afraid of her. I would pray for her. I would help her. I would talk to her. Let's say she came into church. I wouldn't be scared of her. But she was unpredictable. And she was trying to fight her roommate in the middle of the night because I think that she had so much going on mentally and spiritually. She was just always confused of who she was with and what environment she was in. It was heartbreak. It was so sad. And it was inappropriate to have somebody like her in a gen pop, a general population that I was in. There really needs to be a medical mental facility in those places. I do think larger jails probably have them. I would think that they would have to, but they really did it wrong by putting her in there. And had I been put in a cell with her, I would have done everything to get out of a cell with her. And I would have been very scared of her. Even when we would have common area together in the rec time where, you know, you're all together, everybody from their cells gets let out and we're all together. She would just pace and pull her hair out and yell and talk to somebody and talk, unfortunately, speak of the things that have happened to her. She was probably abused pretty bad at one point and she would speak on it in scenario, like it was happening in real time. That's really scary. She was violent. And I believe she was in on prostitution charges. That's very scary. Not in her right mind. And I always say that. I'm not scared of the gang members. I'm not scared of criminals. I'm not scared of, you know, felons. I'm not really even all that scared of a murderer. But people who are not well, that is like a little bit scary. That was really scary. The other scary thing that I wasn't prepared for, I guess you can imagine it, and I think they show it on past seasons, so I've been told, is the screams at night in jail are chilling. You know, when you like watch something scary or like those haunted houses and there's people just like screaming from behind the walls and it really makes like a yucky, really heavy ambiance. I didn't know that jail was going to be so noisy or so loud or so scary. People would wail at night and holler and scream profanities and really scary, angry, gross. It was awful. It wasn't every night, but it was a lot of nights. What was even worse is the pod that I was in, right? Like the group of people I was with. It was neighbored to another pod that were people who were in isolation. And that's torture. That's mental torture. They're just in a room by themselves with nothing, no free time, no roommate, nothing. No rec time, no classes, nothing. The amount of mental anguish that puts people in, I can taste it from what we experienced. I can't even fathom what that was for them to be just in there. And sometimes for a very long time, they would also be awaiting prison sentencing in solitude. Pure torture. Nothing short of it, but pure torture. And we were neighbored to them. So their screams would... they might as well just been in our pod. It was so loud and screaming for help and saying what they need, like I'm hungry or I need this. Often being not aware of their current surroundings, being in a bad mental state, bad mental place, and fighting nothing, you know, fighting their accusers, their abusers, their demons, and yelling really scary things. At one point, I even asked the guard, "Will you please let me go over there and pray for her? I think I have an answer. I think I know what she needs," which will lead me into our discussion on exorcisms for this episode. But before I say that, the final, ultimate, very scariest thing in jail, if you saw it on, I think, episode 2 or 3, y'all, scarier than Tinkerbell, scarier than people in isolation. When you check into jail and they hand you stained, used underwear. Can you play some scary music after this? Dun, dun, dun. When they handed me that, I was like, okay. So these are used. And she was like, yep. Those are used. And I'm going to get really graphic here. This is so gross. If you're easily grossed out, go ahead and skip 60 seconds. Most of them have they're brown. They're a brown fabric because that's what color uniforms were, I guess. That's why. And it probably covers it, which is even grosser than you can see less. I don't know. It's worse, white underwear to see what you're putting on, or brown underwear that covers it. I don't know. Probably brown. I don't know. But the crotches in the underwear, the piece of fabric, would often have, like, it looked to be bleach marks. I found false comfort in that because I'm like, well, maybe they're spraying, you know, I don't know, stain cleaner. I don't know. Just selling myself a boat of dreams on that. And then they later told me in jail, the girls told me, no. That's from girls who have yeast infections and it like bleaches out the underwear. Many people opted to not wear them. Yeah, understandably, because, gross what? Like a very hurting, unclean, unwashed, yucko demographic. And then we're all sharing underwear. On what planet? Wait, we can't get new underwear. Can I offer a proposition? I would have loved had they sold underwear in commissary. Why not? I know prisons, you can buy your own underwear, but not there, baby. So scary. All right. Y'all ready to talk about exorcisms? Do you feel your body tense up a little bit when we bring that up? Okay. So the topic of exorcisms is a controversial subject. There's a lot of disbelief. There's a lot of unbelief. And it'll get hairy even between different Christians. Christians will even, I notice people catch the stance when this topic comes up. And it's this kind of like head shaking, like you're talking about Bigfoot. It's like this awkward, uncomfortable, dismissive intolerance for even the topic. And I find an observation in that. I find that curious. And it can be weird. It can be intense. But you want to know what else? It's very, very, very biblical. I'm going to speak to the unbelievers first. If you are not a follower of Christ, if you do not consider yourself a Christian or, you know, even that deep into one, I could see where we have just sensationalized and dramatized evil so much, right? In movies and costumes and gore, and we almost make a comedy of it. I could see where you could be like, nah, y'all are taking that too far. But what I can't understand is while here you are kind of admiring the evil, you know people who do really dark things. And there is a difference between somebody who struggles, let's say, with some mental issues or some surface things or depression or things like that, which I could speak to that too. But let's just say, we'll say that for the sake of conversation, that struggle with those things. And I could see where you could say, look, these are common things that people struggle with, okay? There's even bad people who do things out of need or out of whatever. And I could see where you could say that, well, that's just mental health and they're unwell. Sure, there's lots of truth to that. But y'all, don't make me talk about the sickest, grossest, darkest things on here that people do. People who defile children or torture people or murder people or like actual real things. If you worked on any side of the law, you would know that evil is so undoubtably real. The things that some people do to other people, that is not just mental illness. We can't talk it up to that. We can't, because then you know what that means? It means we're all susceptible to it. And it means it just kind of comes. It just kind of happens, and hope you get good luck and you don't deal with those things. No, the brutal things that people will do. How about when people just walk away from their families? Are you trying to tell me that, and I'll get so heated on this topic. Are you trying to tell me that's just free will and choice and he messed up or no, what are you talking about? Evil is so real. Have you ever heard the way some people will even just speak death over people or talk ill of certain demographics or people or say the things that people deserve? Or, I mean, look what's happening in Gaza. You don't think that that's just like evil at hand where kids are walking around? That's not just like, I can't agree or disagreement. Now, that's not an opinion on that topic, but I'm saying evil is at hand. Look what happened to the Ukrainians even. That's evil. And if you don't come to grips with evil is real, you are living in the purest state of delusion and really just living in a blinder way of life where you just want to see the light and see the good and focus on those things, because evil is real. And what I don't want to think is that some people can do what they do that is so disgusting to children and not think that there is a good that can counter that. Let that fuel your tank of having a justice for truth and for good. Everything I do, when I sense myself starting to do wrong, I will think to myself, if I do what's wrong here, this is the same fuel that fuels the evil on that side. Deeper, more territory, but nonetheless. And as we learned in that satanic script, that the first thing is indulgence. You do whatever you want to do for you. You do whatever makes you feel good. And as long as you're not directly hurting anybody else, it's fine. And that, if that's a part of the satanic Bible, if that is you just being your own God, then of course those terrible things that people do contribute to the conversation of evil. They have to. And so wake up. And that goes to Christians too. You can't get so complacent in being a part of your church book clubs and potlucks and the Sunday school and bringing snacks and our whatever Christmas thing, that you aren't out there on the street, praying over people, delivering people, speaking life, speaking truth, taking people in and loving people to the point that it's uncomfortable. I mean, for the love. And let me tell you something, if you've been serving the Lord a long time, and I'm going to get real heated on this, okay? And you aren't directly hands-on ministering to people and doing things that is uncomfortable to you, it's a level of God where you trust him enough to tap into the things that are uncomfortable, then you've missed it. Then you've not leveled up. And that's why we talk about self-reflection. And that's not a bad thing. Self-reflection is not bad. If you think that you are immune to self-reflection, then who do you think you are, honey? then tell me how you got there. Evil is very, very, very scriptural. And I find it in a lot of the denominations. They're the ones quickest to get uncomfortable about the topic of what is evil and what isn't. If you go through the Bible, there are hundreds of accounts of demonic possession and exorcism, so to speak, and freedom and being delivered of those things. Now, I did advertise this as my dad was an exorcist and he was and is, but I'm going to tell you something. In the fundamental charismatic Bible culture, and even beyond that too, Catholics and beyond, and like Southern Baptist, things like that, it's actually very common. He was not all that special in that regard. And you should get to a place where if you study Jesus enough, that you would get to a point where you realize the demonic power that is over things. And it doesn't necessarily take being somebody chosen or singled out or all that different. It takes being in a place where you understand spiritual warfare and you are reading the hard parts of the Bible also. That's actually what it takes. It's a level of God that you have to be uncomfortable a bit and understand spiritualism, really, and mysticism. That's not a bad word. The Bible uses that word. And you have to be willing to look at scripture and to really want to live like Jesus. The Bible talks about casting out demons in so many books of the Bible. Mark, Matthew, Acts. What else? I have notes here. Luke. I could go on. Thessalonians, Corinthians. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And it talks about the different kinds of demons that were casted out of people. There was one that did reference the mental aspect of things. There was one that referenced temptations, one that was spiritual, generational. They also use a lot of words that are rooted in original language and Greek text that reference what kind. And it was control over, empowered, and different levels of holds that demons had and demonic presence over people. And then other people in the Bible were then doing it too. And we are to live like Jesus. I want to know at what point Christians got to this place where we're like, we don't really do that anymore. We're going to put that in the category of miracles. What are you talking about? What are you actually talking about? The Bible talks about how certain demonic presences would manifest in parts of people's bodies, that sometimes they would be under full control. This is all scripture, or they would have a dwelling, which would mean that it would be more of a stronghold. And in the early 1900s, Christians started to doubt the supernatural. And then this is kind of where other theories of the supernatural came into play. And we kind of say it as like, you know, we are for good, but we don't want to fight the bad. And we will kind of mimic or mock the severity of these things. I am here to tell you that in a spiritual world, as soon as you're open to spirituality and you allow yourself to partake in that and understand it, it all of a sudden all makes sense. And it fits into the narrative of the Bible and how we're supposed to live. And my dad took those things very serious. If you kind of look at a four corner church or people that say, what we want to do is just live out the whole Bible. There's nothing that's off limits. There's nothing that we kind of write off. And the New Testament foreshadows the Old Testament. They are hand in hand. They relate to each other through and 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 through. It's unavoidable. And this is a part of Christianity. And I had seen it since I was very young. My dad would have people come into our home, and they would be people that would travel from pretty far away too. And they would come because they had a demonic presence over their life. There is a difference between possession and oppression. There is a difference. And we could get into philosophy, you know, can Christians be, you know, demon possessed? And we could go on and on about that. People really doubt that too. Well, I'll tell you this. I know people who are saved, who claim Christianity, who at one point or love the Lord or serve the Lord, who then are charged with murder. So are you trying to tell me that those things like murder, you can't tell me a Christian's never murdered anybody, okay? And if you believe in salvation, their Christianity does withhold. Are you trying to tell me that? So that was just what? An oopsie? A lapse? No, it's demonic presence. It's possession, you guys. It's so easy. It's so easy. Have you ever, and you know what word I don't like? I don't like the word vibes. Because you know what you're often feeling? You're often feeling demonic presence, and we're cashing it out to a word as cheap as vibe. You sense the demonic thing. And if you have been indoctrinated that we are not to do that, even though it says we are, it says go out, cast out demons, then you have talked yourself out of the Bible. You have. Now, if that isn't enough to sell it to you, if maybe self-reflect, can I offer the conversation that we've been talking about as far as self-reflection? Let me offer that. If that's not enough for you, study what Jesus did. We're supposed to be like Jesus. If that's not enough for you, go read up on how evil some cases are and the horrible things that people do to some people. And then tell me that our God doesn't answer a solution to that. And tell me that those people are just battling mental health. It's not true. It's demonic force. And there's a difference in things. And we will have that conversation later. But my dad used to have people come into our home, and we had a 4-level house, which is interesting enough, but he would be like, okay, you have to stay on the top level. But they had these like bars, these railings, and I found the stairs, and I would go sit and watch his exorcisms or spiritual deliverance or whatever you want to call it, 4 hours and hours. And I was like, not really ever even scared. I wasn't. I was interested. And I remember having moments where I thought, oh, wow, that was really scary. And there was one woman in particular where she was coming multiple times a week to work on deliverance. She had been abused really bad. And they got to a place where they had worked on it for so long, and she would come in and she would almost look hunched over. And believe it or not, she would often be convulsing even as she walked into our house, foaming at her mouth, kind of talking like in a fairly scary way. And I don't know why I wasn't scared. I probably should have been, but I think I just trusted my dad so much. And he would explain it to me. He would say, well, I'm going to explain this to you. And he would show me scripture and I'd say, okay. And he'd say, you know, you're okay. We're covered and the Lord's going to protect us and we're fine. And he was really open about it with me. There was nothing was shocking. I was never kept from anything. He was like, no, I want you to see it. And I remember hearing this lady just scream. It sounded like a tortured scream. She screamed and I remember watching through the bars and her whole body flew kind of to the end of the wall and she puked everywhere. And she walked out and she looked like a different person. And she was never the same after that, all for the good. And she would speak on it and she would say, that's when everything changed. So I watched this woman's life hands down. I watched the physical things show. I watched her be in a state of torture and it was not good. And then she went to our church and I remember her saying to me, I was little, I was probably like 6 or 7. And I remember her saying to me, were you scared? did you know, were you scared? And I wasn't. And I think when you know truth, I think when you know God's on your side and really there's a beauty in that being available. Truth be told, my next story is we were at a conference one time and there was a leader there. So here, this will be a hard conversation for you Christians. We'll have a whole episode on this, I promise. And there was a leader, wonderful, chipper, happy, really nice guy. Everybody loved him. Incredible. Great Christian, great guy. Kids loved him. It was youth camp. Everybody wanted to be on his team. Incredible. And in the middle of the service, it looked almost like a seizure. He started convulsing and calling out a demon by name, saying the name. This happens a lot. And he was speaking and he was saying, I am possessed by the demon of, and he was naming it. And all the leaders that were sharp on this, we all took him in another room. And for 4 hours, we hammered that out with him. It was one of the darkest things I'd ever seen. And at the end, I'm not going to say it's similar to the movies because I hate to say that, but you know what? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. There's usually a physical reaction to what's happening. And he did indeed, he was delivered and it was intense and it physically manifests itself. And to watch demonic manifestation is not easy. And there was tons of that in jail. Manifestations all the time, you know, and everything. And, If you feel uncomfortable about that, I would question your heart. Why? Because it's only in the Bible a bazillion times. So that's why movies and stuff in this season that people love about exorcisms, I see why it's a thrill, and you should be curious about it. I don't think that part's bad. I think we do have spiritual curiosities within us, but I think it's because we're supposed to go after the real part of it and not the cinematic part of it. Your curiosity is not wrong, but it's not just entertainment. And I think that's one of Satan's tactics. For you to belittle what he does, for you to belittle evil, are you kidding me? Read up on the evil of this world and how ruthless it is. Read up on it. You're trying to tell me that the enemy can convince somebody to go kill somebody? Or, you know, or let's use stuff more graphic. Go kill an infant, go kill a baby. But you're trying to tell me that evil doesn't exist on this earth and that God's not going to give us a counter solution to that? Wrong. Just read the Bible. That's all I got to say. Just read the Bible on that. So we will have an actual full episode on this. So that's just like a little teaser on that topic. But I could go on and on forever too. Go to a third world country. I went to Africa on a mission trip. They're very, very, very spiritual here. If you think our spirituality is at a 5 here, they're at a 25. And we went and preached to witch doctors and we did exorcisms for little children when I was there who had been abused and raped and quote unquote worked on by the witch doctors. If you saw the things that I saw there, you would probably get saved in 2 seconds because you'd be like, oh, the spiritual world is real. There are not, I'm telling you, they were the pastor there. I think they go by prime minister. He was telling us there. He said, I'm going to tell you something, or bishop. Maybe he said, I'm going to tell you something. Nobody here isn't spiritual. You just are either spiritual for good or for bad. There's nobody here who's like, I'm agnostic or I don't believe in that because it's too prevalent. The government has a unit to combat the evil spiritual things. They have certain land there, government land, that they block off because it's been dedicated to a spiritual side of evil, and they say don't work on it or all the construction workers die. And we saw that over and over. Oh yeah, this is zoned off because of spirituality. We're just so like into everything else in America that we're just like brain dead to that part of it. And that's Christians too. So we'll talk more about that. And I'll do a poll on my Instagram if you want to talk more about that. You should be intrigued. You should be. So you being intrigued by evil decorations, well, you know what it probably means? It probably means you have a heightened spiritual side to you, and you should probably just do it for real instead of this fake nonsense, honestly. So buckle up, babe, and why don't you brave up and handle it real, dead on. The next thing we're going to talk about today is, I personally love the conversation right now. I think God's bringing me into a season where I'm comparing biblical truth to satanic truth, as yucky as that sounds, but I am. And I love that we talked about the principle last week. We're also going to now do a whole segment on this in the future too, because I think it's so important. And we're going to go over the second principle of the satanic Bible. And this is that, are you ready for this? Not what I would have expected. Okay. The second principle of the satanic Bible is that Satan represents existence instead of spiritual pipe dreams. Emphasize living fully present in reality than focusing on spiritual illusions.
Before we get started with this episode of Heart Convictions hosted by Nina, my name is Brad, and I'm a part of the Hopecast Network, and I also host a show you may enjoy. If you love Heart Convictions, you're going to love Your Weekly Calling. Every Monday, it's a 5 to 8 minute devotional just for you. We love our listeners here at Hopecast, and what better way to start your week out than listening to God's Word on your way to work, working out, or just sitting at home? So make sure you like and subscribe to Your Weekly Calling after you listen to Heart Convictions hosted by Nina on the Hopecast Network.
Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch your podcasts.
Not what I thought would be in there, if I'm being honest. We think that Satanism is this like, oh, worship Satan. Rather, it's saying, oh, worship yourself. It's an invite to look at yourself as the highest God. And rather than wasting your time trying to convince you that Satan is who you should follow, it satisfies him for you to just follow yourself. And it's this watering down of spirituality, which also plays into Christians not wanting to talk about the conversation of demonic deliverance. That now plays into a government of satanic belief, to where you say the spiritual isn't really there. You need to be present with what's here right now and reject the spiritual aspect of it. So the second principle of the satanic Bible is to denounce spiritualism. And that Satan is really just a logo. It's branding for you follow yourself. And you don't need to chase spirituality. That's all kind of aloof. And it's a pipe dream. That's literally in the description that it's a pipe dream. And it becomes this worship of human nature. It's a lack of anything higher. It's saying what we have here is all we have, and that you're to only focus on that. Well, if you focus on earthly and worldly things, then how disgusting, how unfulfilling. And we are learning over and over and over what little that does for us. And that's what he wants. So that would then make you reject anything higher, any form of spiritual deliverance, any form of anything, and just that celebration of indulgence. This is all we have is right here. So you make the most of earthly things. You do what you want to do. You live how you want to live. Sexuality belongs to you. There is no spiritualism. You don't have to believe in Satan. Just know that, just don't follow anything spiritual. That's the second principle. If that doesn't change the way you think about everything, if that doesn't want to convince you out of sin, and if that doesn't rock your belief system, I don't know what will. That's an important topic. So I'm going to leave you with that. We're going to go over the other principles again. in an episode to come, because quite frankly, it's a season that I'm really finding a lot of truth within my own heart in. It seems wildly important, and I can't help but be checked by it. I don't want to live in a place of rejection of enlightenment. Even when you say, I'm spiritually capped off, that's it. At my church, we don't do that. At my church, we don't talk like that. At my church, you know, speaking in tongues, it's too much. Oh no, it's only in the Bible. It's only the Bible. When you talk yourself out of spiritual enlightenment, it's a part of Satanism. What? What? When you reject biblical principles, you're on that team. I want nothing to do with it. So, all right, intense last couple weeks. We're just going to end on the topic of government conspiracy that we talked about last week. I hope you are evaluating what's going on right now. I'm going to ask who killed Charlie Kirk. That's what I want to know. Who killed Charlie Kirk? And I hope that you ask that question too. I said last week, just focus on one aspect of it. You don't have to look at anything else. Just focus on one aspect of the case that's going on. And hopefully you will see the inconsistencies. I would hope that you would. And very interesting how with what's being charged right now against this Tyler Robinson, very interesting how they are not like talking about looking into anybody else. The way that they're talking about it as truth should concern you. It should alarm you. It should make your ears perk up. And why couldn't we enter a season where we call out the government? Why couldn't we call out higher corruption? I want to know. Why not? The more you talk about it, the more you question it. I love that people are making videos about it and asking it. Could it be him? I don't think so, but I suppose, probably, I guess. Okay, fine. If it is him, then why aren't we not showing that? Think about the Koberger case that just went on, the Idaho 4. We tore that thing left and right. We were obsessed with finding out the details, the cameras, the parts of it, the everything of it, until we knew that we knew that we knew about his life and his parent, on and on and on and on and on. We aren't doing this with this one. Why? Not. Why not? I don't have the answers and I'm not here to give you some agenda, but I want to know why the heck not. Look into that. The next thing I want to propose that you look into is the bullet. Is the bullet wound, the bullet hole, his microphone, and look that up and make your own opinions. That's what I can offer you, is to encourage you to make your own opinion. Go on TikTok and just go down a hole. Don't believe everything, but wake up a little bit. All right. So that has been our intense episode. Thank you for joining us. I want to make sure that you're here next week. We're having a quote unquote podcast harvest party, and it is just going to be absolutely hilarious. I pray that you join us on it. It's just going to be so fun. It's just going to be a lighthearted conversation. We've talked about really heavy things the last two episodes. You are going to just join the party. Wear your favorite costume, you know, hypothetically, and it's going to be really good. So I hope you have a spiritually heightened season, October. And I hope you find some enlightenment and send me a message. I love all your messages. And then we are going to enter in a season of genuine thankfulness. I'm excited about November too. I have so many things planned for us. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for joining us. And would you do me a favor? Would you share this episode with somebody? Send it in a message. Send it in a text message. Go to the top, hit the three dots in the corner, share episode, and say, hey, listen to this message. Listen to this, girls. I know her. Listen to this. You know her from that show, whatever. Remember when she spoke at our church? Here's her podcast. Would you do that right now before the episode's even over? Right now, unlock your phone, open it, and send it. Come on, we're a new podcast. I'm over here trying to promote, okay? Appreciate you guys. We'll be back next Monday for the third episode of the October series. You are not going to want to miss it. And we will talk to you soon. Go read your Bible, would ya? Thank you. Bye.